Woo!
All right, boys and girls, we're on another one, but this time I brought in the girl. Actually, you are the first girl I've had on the podcast, and the one and only Nico.
Oh.
Yeah, you should feel privileged. Actually, So Nico and I, we go, shoot, how many years ago was that when we coached the Ultimate Fighter? Three? Two?
Holy. Was that our?
I think it's been like 2 years for sure. I know it's been by, going by fast. Ever since I have my kids, time flies.
I know, congrats.
I know, that's crazy. Cute. I got a little booger now, man. I got a little son. He's the cutest little thing ever, too. But I'm loving my daughter because she's at that age where we can go hang out and do everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Her motor functions are there. She's ready to go.
Yep. So anyways, guys, this is Nico. She was on the Team Gaethje team, the winning team. She was actually the one that won the whole thing. She was the first 125-pound world champion. And Nico, what have you been up to, man? Like, tell us right now, like, because I follow you on IG, right? Like, and me and you always kind of message each other back and forth and just see what's up. But you're in Alaska right now, right?
Oh, yeah. Backing wood, chopping wood.
Chopping wood. I just did that today, too.
Yeah,
well, that's a lot of snow still out there.
Yeah, and it's still going. There was a big old storm last night. It's still going. But there's lakes out there. There's like a lake that leads into another lake, and that lake leads into another lake. So skate skiing's been pretty fun.
So did you have to get there by a plane, small plane? Or did you get by boat?
Using my thumb.
You use your thumb?
Like, and then, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let me hop on your ferry. Yeah. Let me hop on your plane. Come on.
You went from a fucking thumb to saying, hey, with a closed fist and saying, let me get a ride with you, huh?
It's spring.
That's
awesome.
Yeah,
no, I got here right when everybody started to figure out that it would hit the fan, right? It was like,
yeah,
okay, hang out in quarantine at home, aka Vegas, because I just moved to Vegas,
right?
And then, like, I literally moved to Vegas probably 2 weeks post injury, post MCL sprain. And then, after that, I was like, all right, well, I don't know if I want to hang out in Vegas for quarantine,
right?
And then just jumped on a plane and headed over here.
And where are you actually in Alaska?
Yakutat, Alaska.
Yakutat?
So it's really great for like sport. Yakutat.
Okay. And is it somebody you know out
really
there?
Great for
or is it family, mm-hmm. boyfriend? What is it?
So there's a. there's this moose hunt I went on back in December, right?
You went on a moose hunt.
The guy still.
It's still on a moose.
Yeah, it's still rotten here.
Oh, that's dope. Hold on, Nico. That's the one you shot? Hell yeah. See, I didn't know this.
I didn't shoot it, but I learned how to shoot then. And then as soon as I had my taste of moose hunting and my taste of shooting rifles,
right.
It was just like,
oh, you were hooked. You're hooked. You're hooked. The freezer's full. The freezer's definitely full.
Oh, yeah.
That's so
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. And then I went to Alaska during the summer for salmon fishing and halibut fishing.
Yep.
So I've just been digging this place since.
That's crazy. I went on one moose hunt here in Colorado, and they're Shiras moose. They're a lot smaller than Alaska moose, but it was one of the funnest times I've had. And man, you realize like how big those animals are when you're right next to them.
You don't want those guys charging at you. You see the star? That was from a moose hunt.
Really? Don't lie, dude. That was for me. I smoked you when I was coaching. I know. Anyways, cool, dude. I did not know that. I didn't know you were in Alaska in the summer either. That's cool. Yeah, the fishing there is great.
Mm-hmm.
So you just became a little outdoorsman, huh? World champ.
Yeah,
you did that. Now you're like, oh, I'm going to be an outdoorsman now, huh? Live in Alaska. Stay in Alaska
Why
now.
Why not? Yeah.
Growing up in Albuquerque, right? You grew up in Albuquerque, right?
No, I grew up in the res, not the reservation.
Yeah, where at? What part? Which one part?
Legutchigay. It's a town called Legutchigay, and my grandparents own the trading post there.
Okay.
So they have like all the accommodations, whatever anybody needs, right?
Right.
Because it's only that trading post and the gas station. And we stopped doing gas years ago. So whatever the town needs, like, and we still work off of the bartering system. So if it's like an old, my son and woman comes in and she's like, I don't have any money because I don't work, but I can like make rugs out of wool, out of sheep, then we can trade her some groceries and,
right,
you know, keep the economy growing or going at least, you know, right. Without necessity.
That's cool. Like, I wish the bartering system was still going on. That'd be fun, dude, honestly. Like, I think that's the way to do it.
It is. So that's the thing. Especially in quarantine. Like, what else are you going to do? Right. Everyone's talking about not making money. So it's like, I'll go set some houses, skate, bring them up, and then let's talk.
Dude, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Here in the States, everybody's like got a scarce on toilet paper. And I'm just like, people were going nuts for toilet paper, right? And I'm like, man, that's the least of my worries. You know what I mean? I'll just go wash my ass after I check shit. You know, what I mean? I'll take a sleeve. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, toilet paper is like the least of my worries. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't believe it. And like, I don't know. It's crazy. So you just took quarantine to a different level. You went all the way to Alaska.
Yeah, I grew up in quarantine, so I'm comfortable with uncomfortability, right?
Yeah,
according to other people, but to me, it's normal.
Yeah, dude. I honestly, I'm okay with it. Honestly, I'm actually making the best of it. Like hanging out with my kids. You know, obviously, my wife. We're having like dinner every night, breakfast every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, story time, play time. I mean, it's just crazy on like how much fun we're having. Yeah. Right. And it's just, we're having a lot of fun. Like me and my daughter are shooting the bows a lot. So it's just nuts, you know, like I'm making the best of it. Like obviously now that I got to go back in town and, you know, do Justin stuff. I mean, today was like the first day, of me in a group of guys, and we had like five people there, tops, four people, you know, because they needed bodies.
Nice. Yeah, right. And what's the limit? Six.
Yeah. So, anyways, man, it's crazy. So, I guess what I wanted to hop in on here is, first of all, I saw you drinking something. What was that?
Oh, this is Alaskan Brewery Company.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Alaskan beer, huh?
And you can't find these in Sprouts.
Is it like a
variety package?
Right. Is it like a dark beer or IPA or what is it?
No, I don't think it's an IPA. It's like a more of a wheat beer.
Okay,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's more like a blondie beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like that, I think. I don't like dark. I don't like dark beer.
Yeah.
That shit gets me
jacked.
I don't
either. And everything else, I think, from them is just like dark. Yeah, it's just like bitter aftertaste.
Cool
flavor.
Well, that's cool, man. I'm excited for you. I'm jealous of that moose elk back there. The thing was huge. I guess I
won't. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Let's get it precise.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, so I came out here in. Uh oh, can you go hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
See me?
Yep.
Okay. think it's only when I'm moving. But I have a my friend Lee, and he's the one who brought me out on this during the summer for the salmon fishing and everything. I mean, I could only observe, so there's only so much I could do.
Right.
But because unless you're Alaska Native and coastal Native, there's like specific rules and stuff. So I was there to watch and I had a good time.
Yep.
And then he was like, yeah, you want to come back for a moose hunt? And again, I couldn't do anything. I just had to observe.
Right. So you don't have a license.
It was all fun, though. Like, it was like, exactly. I'm not a coastal Native. I'm not Alaska Native. So I watched everything go down, but I was still part of the camp. I was still part of being out there and being like listening to the radios and being like, high tide this, low tide that, blah, yep, blah, 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 blah. Oh, we're stuck out here for two more days, guys.
Now, did you guys have like, horses? Did you guys have horses or snowmobiles?
No. We have four-wheelers.
Okay.
A lot of people get around on four-wheelers out here.
Okay.
Apparently, horses don't exist out here, which is different from me because I come from like a rodeo family,
right?
And I was like, you guys have rodeos out here? They're like, yes and no, there's no horses out here. But anyway, this guy,
oh, I yeah carried, dude, that's
I packed this dude on my back,
so that's what I, that's what
ordered
I was,
him up.
Yeah, dude, that's heavy as hell, right? Yeah, that's
and it's
cool.
So cattywampus. I was carrying on my rack and I was just like going through all the muskeg and it was catching on to everything.
Yeah, dude.
It took a while for the guys to be like, you can't carry it like that. You have to turn it around. Obviously, it's a moose. That's how they walked through it.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't have told me that like a mile ago.
Yeah, right. So that was the question. Like, you obviously helped pack out the meat and the head and everything. That's cool, man. That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real part. That's what you deserve to eat that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
like, really cool. Like,
yeah.
You want to talk about leg training. Yeah, it is, dude. That's training. Well, you remember Dan Henderson? You know, he fought in the UFC and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, that's all he would do is go elk hunting. He would just hit the mountains and just go hiking, and then he would get an elk and he would pack it out. And he says, dude, you guys ever done that? That's training right there. That's raw training. And it is the truth, man. Anybody who's ever packed out an animal that size, it's hard. It's hell. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And the weight is so offset that you have to, it's like farmer carries, but for real. Like the reason you farmer carry is to carry this.
Right? Right? I know. So I seen on your, you posted a picture, you shooting a recurve bow. Is that right? Were you shooting a traditional bow? Yeah, I saw that. Tell us.
You want to see it?
Yeah, I do. I definitely want to see it. How long have you been shooting that now for?
Just since I've been out here.
Nice. Are you hooked?
I mean, since I was born.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
I have this friend who was like, oh, I don't know how to French braid. We're in a group of her friends. And then she looks at me and she's like, but you know how to French braid, right? And I was like, I looked at her like.
Now, is that racist or what? That's what I'm saying. Like, people just don't get it. Like, I know. Like, I should be able to make tortillas, right? I don't know how to make tortillas.
But that's the thing. Like, it's true.
Oh,
I made fried bread the other night.
I'm like, man, I don't even know how to make green chili, let alone tortillas. Fuck, I'm the worst Mexican ever.
So here's this guy.
Let's see that, baby. Right? Oh, yeah. It's so fun, ain't it? It's so fun, ain't it? Yes. Oh, yeah, you got a traditional there. That's cool, man. It's a little stick bow.
Oh, yeah. As tall as I am.
Yeah.
7 foot.
Oh, it might be a longbow then, huh?
I mean
it would be longer. I'm not tall either, girl, so it'd be longer than me too. Dang, that's so cool, man. Like when I saw the pictures of like you catching halibut and you know shooting your bow out there, I mean it just kind of, I was like, man, I gotta get her on because shit. I don't even remember the last time I talked to you. I think we've seen you at the fights here in Colorado, right?
Yes.
I saw you at the fights. I forget when
so
I was
long ago. That's when I got a Gladiators Unleashed.
Yeah, you wore that. I know, right? It was shit. It was the LFA, I think, is what it was. RFA fights. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when me and Justin saw you last.
One of those two.
Yeah.
Mhm. There's a smokehouse right there.
Yep. Is that the smokehouse? Really?
So that's where you smoke your fish. Uh huh.
Dang. So.
I don't have anything hanging up right now.
Is it just you and your man out there, or your friend? Or is it just your friend?
Nice try, Luke.
Is that it? Of what? What is it? Tell me. Is it friend?
Yeah, he took me on the moose hunt, right?
Yeah.
He was the leader on the moose hunt.
Oh, what else gets smoked in that meat shed? Oh, I'm fucking hold bad. I'm bad.
He's
I'm bad.
He's a special friend, right?
Right, I'm bad.
He's a real best friend. Yeah.
Oh shit! That's so funny. That's so funny, right? Oh, so anyways, Nico, what's
check out my ID and for yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of coronavirus going on out there in Alaska?
Actually, there are some people who have it in Ketchikan and in Juneau.
Oh, really?
I haven't heard anything else. Yeah. But since I'm in Yakutat, that's still a plane right away. So even though we can, like, travel through the state, travel, like, domestically through the state, we still have to quarantine if I chose to go into Juneau where my friend Lee is. I would still have to spend 2 weeks there in quarantine. And if I want to come back here, it would be 2 weeks of quarantine here.
Really?
But, like, that's their way of travel, you know? Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
We're on this huge, huge plot of land. So, yeah.
I mean, that's
the only way to travel. And then talking about... Go for it.
No, you're cutting out a little bit. I was just saying you're cutting out a little bit. Yeah, but I was gonna say, like, how close is your nearest neighbor? I mean, it can't be that close, right? I mean, you guys are all pretty spread out,
right? Yeah, closest neighbor is probably like 50 meters that way.
Oh, really? Yeah, so it's not like you guys are like not by like a lot of people. I mean, quarantine is definitely.
Oh yeah.
Good there. Well, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, if we choose not to be, we keep everyone safe. Like my quarantine here, I got here and I put myself in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yep.
I know it wasn't like mandatory at the time, but I knew how like. Upsetting or just uncomfortable I would make people and myself if I had done that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I spent quarantine on a boat for 2 weeks away from people.
Yeah.
And catching halibut.
Yeah, that seems like not a bad time.
It was like crab digging the other day. It was pretty fun.
What'd you catch?
Yeah, this was my third week here. Halibut.
Yeah, you were catching halibut?
Crab digging.
Nice. How cold is it there right now?
It's about 30 degrees.
Oh,
it
gets
colder, though, as soon as snow stops going and as soon as the rain stops going. Last night, it was a storm, and it was howling. I've never seen trees move like that. I was, like, drifting off to sleep, and you can just see in the windows, like, the snow on the trees.
Yeah, just banging.
Like, oh, it's so pretty. But then you, like, realize that it's like, oh, if that much freaking wind blowing around and you hear the creak. There's no thunder or lightning out here, but you hear the tree creak. You're like, oh, it's going to break on top of the town.
Yep, it's cracking. That's awesome. So tell us, like, you moved to Vegas, I hear. You left New Mexico, moved to Vegas. Talk to me about that. What's up with that? Is training, the PI, obviously?
What? Yeah, I just
need a change.
Yeah, I need a change. But something personal. I broke up with my boyfriend for 9 years. And then I was like, you know what? I need a change. Because I was at Fit, right? And then I was like, okay, I can still make it happen here in Upley. I'll just go over to Jackson Akamas. Because that's where all my buddies are. So Ray Borges, Nick Urso, Ruby Lando, Harry, fucking Ricky, like everybody, like all these guys that I have
gotten
to know. And, got to know personally, Derek or Sienna, and we were just like, okay, this is awesome. But it's like, it's not Jackson Winks, it's Jackson Akama.
Oh, really?
So it was supposedly the sister school, but then politics got involved with that. And so Wink has nothing to do with it, but Jackson does.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
I don't know. The logistics, I just jumped over because I knew there were some good bodies to train us. But they're all dudes, right? Realize that our name's all guys.
Right.
And I just had no one to train with out there after a while.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I had to make the leap for myself.
That's the hard part about being a girl in this sport. I mean, I see it with, like, Rose here and, you know, just a bunch of girls here training. They're trying to find girls to train with. I mean, there's guys, it's same weight class and everything, but to find the you know, good, steady training partners, I mean, you really got to go places like Vegas and stuff like that. And I don't know, man, it's tough. It's tough to find good training partners, period. You know what I mean? In your situation. Consistent, should say.
And I'm a heavy, because I'm a heavy 125-er, obviously. I moved up to 135.
Well, you
on my amateur career, I was 135, 145.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When you were on the show, you were 125, and then you went up to 135, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and do you feel way better there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like an athlete there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can gas some girls at 125, but at the same time, it's like I feel like a skeleton. I feel like a Skeletor, and I know there are but kind of girls who can agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah.
And they cut weight. It's like, if you're an athlete, you want to be fueled, you want to be ready, you only have your body to rely on. So if you're not fueling it properly, then what do you have to rely on?
Yep.
And you're cutting weight, and you're going through all these ridiculous things, but at the same time, so is your opponent. So it's like, why can't we just fight at the same weight class?
Well,
why can't we just, like...
No, I'm 100% with you. Like, I cutted weight when I fought like a dumbass, like every other dumbass, like, you know, until the later that, you know, in my career, you know, you started getting like food nutrition, a nutrition with you, food prep, like, you know, that all that was like later in my career. But like Justin Gaethje, for instance, man, like that guy doesn't cut weight. Like he literally cuts 10 pounds the most, you know what I mean? And he's eating all fight week.
Exactly.
He's eating 5 course meals all week.
Athlete.
Yeah, dude. And he wrestled for so long, and he's all like, dude, I'm done cutting weight. And he goes, dude, the year that he All-Americaned, he didn't cut weight. He wrestled the weight he was supposed to wrestle. So I'm a big fan of not cutting weight. Yeah. Yeah, he did the best that he ever did by not cutting weight. And look at him now, not cutting weight. Like,
and you guys saw me on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean.
And you guys saw me on the show. I was like freaking Skeletor. I felt like eating like, I was seriously scooping 2 tablespoons of oatmeal into my morning breakfast with a tablespoon of flax seeds. And then I go for a 6-mile run. And then I come back and eat 2 eggs, asparagus. And then I go off to our 2-hour training. And then everybody'd be like, why are you eating so much? Like, why are you eating like that right after training? And I'm like, because I have to. Have to eat to fuel.
Yeah.
You have to eat to fuel. The only time I can eat is when I work out. And so post-workout after that was just like this much of chicken breast, this much of avocado,
It's horrible.
It was just silly.
It's miserable, right? It's miserable. It's a miserable time.
Yeah, and we're expected to be explosive. We're expected to be endurant. Like we have to go for long periods of time. We have to be explosive for that long period of time. But does anybody know how to fuel for that?
No.
Besides dietitians, besides athletes,
everybody's body's type's different, right? And like you have. Now that you're in Vegas, you have, the PI there, and you'll have your own nutritionist mm-hmm. there. And I mean, they'll cook your own meals there, right there. You can get your own meal there, right? Like, it's awesome. Like, I think it's a great move for you there. Do we go there? What's that, Nico? Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
No, I said you can go there and do all that.
Yeah.
You have a little bit of a lag.
Yeah, we were just up there probably a month ago. We went up to Vegas and Justin was up there at Extreme Couture's training. And we went up there and, we were sparring with those guys. It was like pretty much right when this whole coronavirus was kicking off. And I was like, man, I don't even know if I should go, but I went anyways because I like Vegas. dude, it was nuts. And, everybody was like, man, is Justin ready? Has he been training? And like Justin's been training because he's been trying to. You got to be training. Well, and not only that, but he didn't know if he was going to fight McGregor here soon this early summer or, Tony and Khabib fight. Let's put it this way. They've tried to fight 5 times now. It's filed through. So, I knew he was next in line. He knew. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. He knows. He knew he was going to be in the mix. So he just was, he was staying ready, But with the whole quarantine deal, it was just kind of lack of training partners, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and that's my deal. I have to come up. Honestly, I got a fight offer yesterday or 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have no training partners up here. Yeah, I'm keeping busy.
Yeah.
I'm stacking wood. I'm throwing up logs over my shoulder.
You're doing the Rocky.
I'm working out when I can't.
You're doing the Rocky. Working.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're doing the Rocky.
Oh, and I feel so good about it because I'm like, let's go, Drago.
Yeah, so there it is. That's so crazy, right? You make do, right? You make do. You make
with
do.
The fireplace.
Yep.
It's right here.
Yeah, you're just cutting wood and everything there. Yeah, I'm jealous. I would definitely love it up there. I'm not going to lie. I would love it up there.
Oh, I know you would. Come up and spend two weeks of quarantine. Come up with your fam. It'll be fun.
Right? Just back it up and go.
It's not like I'm from here.
Right?
Blah, blah, blah.
I know. So, talk to us. Talk to me a little bit about the show a little bit. When you were on the show, would you do it all over again?
I would do the show again for sure. I made some really, really, really good friends: Emily, Roxy, Rachel, all of Team Gacy. Montana. I saw Montana, but I didn't get to fight with her on the same card, but we saw each other through passing, doing weigh-ins and stuff, and it just felt like a home away from home.
Yeah.
I grew up on the res, so I grew up in quarantine, basically, so I was comfortable on the show.
Right.
And there are a lot of girls who are just, pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I loved it, and I loved getting to know each and every one of them, because what else are we going to do with our time? We can't watch TV. We can't listen to music. We have no, outside anything.
I know.
They're
nuts.
Just expecting drama. They're expecting something, some sort of reality show. And which is what I signed up for, but it was comfortable for me,
Right.
Like you saw it and it was good.
Well, and that was kind of like,
I would do it again.
You would do it again.
I would do it again. at 145.
Yeah, there you go. That's smart. You know, and like, every time, like, we would be like, man, these girls got to go back, sit in that house and go crazy, just be bored. We're like, man, we got to go over there and do something with them, you know, like, bring games, do something. Like, we had fun. I mean, you know, it's so funny because Emily, she hits me up still when we talk, you know, and everything. And she always still calls me Coach Pimpin', you know what I mean? So it's fun. Like, I honestly had a great time coaching you guys. Like, it was fun. Like, you know, course, you know, I didn't have the lockdown like you guys did. You know, like, we lived it up in Vegas for 6 weeks. And
thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, I literally probably lost 3 years of my life doing that show. literally, it was bad. Like, we didn't even plan on it either. Like, we'd be like, let's go eat. All right, where do you want to go? Well, we should go play that casino game again, win some money. 3 o'clock in the morning.
What about playing darts?
Yeah. Oh, darts, yeah. And then Matt threw the dart in my head, stabbed me with the head, with the dart in my head, and we got in a fight with each other. Yeah, dude. You know what the crazy thing is? Like, me and him are still, like, boys, and, like, we were actually texting today. I don't see him as much as I like, but he's good, you know, Matt? He's good.
Aww.
He's really good. You know, obviously, I see Justin all the time, way too much still, so it's good, you know, and I see Coach T, you know, Trevor all the time still, too, so.
Yeah. I love him on the show, by the way.
Yeah,
I love him. I didn't think that I needed the mental and
he's everything, man.
Physiological boost. I didn't think I needed that because I was like, oh no, I come from friends. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, dude.
Like, whenever I want. Like, I just had that mentality of just like going hard. Like, if I want wood, I'm gonna go chop it myself and make it happen.
Yeah, he.
If I need dinner, let's go freaking find.
Yeah, you get it done, but it's good. Like, I get why, like, Trevor has been so successful in all his fighters, you know, like, winning world titles, you know, all the way to the top. Man, he listens to him, and he gives out the information that they're needing. Like, he's a great listener, and then just awesome. He's just awesome. He's coached me forever, and, like, when I was fighting, I know what he is, and he's. I mean, if I had a better mentor to look up to, I'm glad it's him. You know what I mean? Like, he is definitely world class. Seriously. Yeah. So, I mean,
like, I knew going into that I was mentally tough and physically tough, but without him, I didn't put too much on him in the aspect of him letting him in. Basically, you know, I was just like, no, I got it all to myself. I got it.
Yeah.
But then post show, like, what the heck am I missing? Like, I got it all. What the heck am I missing? And I'm like, a coach like Trevor. Coach like Trevor would on the down days. I'm like, F this. I don't want to do this. And I go into it with like just a crappy mindset. And I'm just like, whatever. At least I did it. With him on the show, he would just like be like, okay. Queso?
Yeah.
Queso?
And you'd be cracking those small jokes. Those little.
Bring a smile to your face.
Yep. Oh, yeah, dude. I was dealing with that shit today at the practice. I was like, God, Trevor, I missed you. You know what I mean? Like, it was the low sense of humor jokes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just out of the blue.
Good guy.
Yeah, he really is. Speaking of that, you know, I had a few questions come in when I went on my Instagram, right, and everything.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? They were, obviously, they're people you know. They're like, are you hunting in Alaska? That's what they want to know right now.
I can't
hunt. Yeah, you're not a resident.
I can't hunt.
Don't got a head, right? So there's that question. Would you hunt?
But I'm learning to.
Yes, yeah, yes.
I'm learning to.
Right on, good. Nice. And then the other one is, talk to us about, like, there was somebody that said, I know you're really big in being very proud of being a Navajo. talk to us a little bit about that. Like, I think they wanted to know, like, I think this girl was, she was a girl. She came out and she was like, I'm kind of embarrassed to where I come from, but I see what you do, and I think you give her hope or something like that. So, in a nice way, this girl came out.
I love how resilient I am. Like, I always stick to that word because it's nothing that I can lie about, you know? No matter what I go through in life, no matter the turmoil, the obstacles, and the crap that gets thrown at me, like, I'm always resilient. I will never, ever not be because I grew up on the res, because I'm Navajo, and that's just embedded. Like, don't give up.
Yep.
The never give up mentality is already in me. And is already in any Native, especially if they follow the philosophy of our Navajo culture. Because our Navajo culture is: you wake up, you run to the sun every morning, greet them with a prayer in mind, and then you come back with that same prayer in mind, but for yourself instead of to the holy people, instead of to Mother Earth. You know, you're doing that going to the east. When you come back, it's for yourself. Really? You have to pay homage. Where you come from, and to being, you have to pay homage to the land that you're on, to growing up in a place, in a desert place where there's no food, no water, but still there's life, and there's still culture, and there's still humility and faith. And then on your way back, you appreciate yourself and what you're capable of, and what you know that you think, what you know you're capable of, and then what you think you're capable of.
Yeah,
and then when you get home, you can do that all, you know, you can make that all in your head, like fix it however you want, doing your chores, fixing your bed, doing the dishes, making sure your home is your home. It's going to take care of you because you're taking care of it. It's a give and take. It's never just take, 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 take. And it's never just give, 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 give.
Yeah.
But that's the Navajo mentality. That's something that we were brought up with. That's something we were born with. So that's nothing that I, like I said, I didn't think I had to be taught any of this when I got into the show because I knew all of it. But a supportive family and a supportive outlook and a supportive mindset. And it takes what they say, like 28 days to support, to form habit. So if you're not around any of that support system, you start. The hardest part is starting. Yeah. So if you start, it'll just be day by day by day, and then it'll become regular. That's the same with the Navajo culture. It's like girls have their kennel stuff. You know, they're coming to age ceremony. They have their kennel stuff because they're a female, then they're a woman, then they have to take care of themselves. We're a matriarchy. A lot of the indigenous families are matriarchy. So it's up to the females to be the strength.
Really?
The structure, to be the organizer, and you know, the guys are the brawn and the leverage and everything, but so can girls. Girls are never crossed out in indigenous communities. So, you know, if any female is feeling like they're not able to do anything, especially in quarantine, practice your religious beliefs and you'll come out a strong-minded and goal-focused person.
Yeah, dude. Like, mm-hmm. That's honestly,
and that's all our prayers, that's all our duties.
Yeah, it's 100% truth right there. What you just said, you spin the game, girl. You're spitting game right there.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I honestly, like, it's so true. Like, it's like anything. Like, if you want to go on a diet, you want to start working out, you got to do it for what, 14, 15 days to make it just part of life. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's just normal, right? And it's just like anything. Like, I mean,
but it's that day one.
Yep, it has to have day one. You have to pick up that bow that you're shooting right now. Every day you're gonna practice and get better each day, right? Like, it's the same thing, over and over. So when that big moose comes by you, you can smoke it, or
is it in season or not?
Oh yeah, exactly. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, or just get a 300 Win Mag and take it down with the rifle too. Did he shoot that with the gun or with the bow?
So we climb up in the trees, and then he shot it with a gun.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, those animals are freaking so huge. Yeah. Yeah, because they're so huge, you got to see them. You know, I can't wait to do an Alaska hunt. Honestly, I really can't. Like I want to go do a caribou hunt, Alaska moose. I mean, I got a bunch of things I want to do. You know, in Alaska.
Well, I know a guy.
I know you. Did we just become best friends?
I know.
Did we just become best friends? Oh man, that's so funny. Hey, I was gonna ask you. Here's the other thing. They wanted to know how many family members do you have? Do you have a lot of siblings? And what's it like when you left for the show?
You know, with Native families, all your cousins are your sisters and brothers, and you kind of live in a tight community. Uh-huh. So my grandparents live in the trading post, which is like a mile away from where my mom and my aunt live.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt has three girls and one boy. And then my mom has me and my younger sister. But we literally run across the road whenever we wanted to.
Oh, so you guys are all tight. It's all tight. It's all.
And then 15 minute drive, you can go to where I went to elementary school. Well, all of us went to elementary school with our cousins, our boy cousins, and there are three of them. And so it's just, you know, it's a Native family. I was an only child for 15 years, technically.
Yeah.
But. Not a native family.
So do you think that was like you being a native, I mean, Navajo or whatever was a big part of your, like you being so successful in fighting? Like, I mean, willpower? 100%,
huh? You know, we grow up running across the road with no shoes on, getting full heads in our feet.
You're good.
Okay, there we go. You know, getting bullheads in our feet and then us driving up into the mountains just because we were bored, hanging out in the mountains, watching deer. My grandpa would always be like, first person who sees a deer gets $2. First person who sees a bear gets $50.
Really? That's
we never
awesome.
Help him to it. Yeah. He always just takes food from the...
you know, it's so close, funny. But... It's so funny you said that because... was it 2 days ago? I took my wife and kids on a drive out by, we live by the river up here in the mountains. And my daughter was getting restless and I was like, all right, Eva, let's play a game. Whoever can see the most wildlife will win this game and gets $5, right? Oh, dude. She was like, I can't see. Roll my window down. So I rolled her window down and she saw some deer. She was like, I'm winning. But yeah, I mean, I remember doing that as a kid, you know, like it's so funny, like how, you know, you put the iPads down and, you know, the phones and just start, do what we did as kids. You know, that I think that's where we need to do more, you know.
And that's the thing, like our winter games were playing with string. We would take a line of string, tie the ends together, and we just web it through our fingers and play games. Like, not wood, but we still do.
Right.
Well, and it's pretty sad to know that, like, if nobody's going to be practicing our language, it's going to be gone in 20 years. And now this COVID happened in Timbuktu because of this random-ass friggin'...
I know.
What is it? Bible study or something?
Yeah.
Like in Timbuktu, come on! Out of how many freaking Navajos are contaminated now? Because I'm sorry, but like we have our religion.
Yep.
We can rely on that. And I know that Navajo Nation is a great place to go and visit because, especially because Monument Valley is right next to Timbuktu. But. Everyone thinks like, oh, it's an open space. We can be smart about it. We can be smart about it.
So now everybody's infected with it. Yeah, so everybody's infected with it.
And the whole Navajo Nation.
No
way.
And
I can't even go back home.
That's sad.
Like if I wanted to fly out from here tomorrow to go back home, the roads are closed.
So how?
I can't see my sister, my grandma, my mom, my aunt.
Really?
I can't see any of them.
So how are they taking care of it? Do they get to go to the regular hospitals and everything there? And like, tell me how.
No, like, our healthcare system is pretty crappy to begin with, right? Because
right.
it's IHS, Indian Health Service, and no one wants to live in the middle of a desert, in the middle of a dust storm.
Right.
So not very many practitioners want to go there. Not very many doctors want to go there. But the ones who do are just scared. Like, there's not very many people, according to accommodate the amount of people that are on the Navajo Reservation, especially with this coronavirus now because it's spreading. You
yeah.
have to go to, like I said, there's two places in the Guthrie that you can go to, my grandparents' trading post or the gas station.
That's crazy.
So he could either go, and even if you're just like some Masana woman, that's like some grandma lady, you're going to go there and you're going to trade in your rug, right? Or you're going to trade in your basket for some groceries. You're going to be contaminated because
yep.
it's such a small community.
Yeah.
And each community is 10, 15 minutes apart. So there's Lugatagai, Sailey, Many Farms, Shilchimbato, Monument Valley. But Monument Valley attracts so many people and it brings them in. And so they had to close that road down. And
yeah, that sucks.
The economy is crap.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Because that's the one store that you can go to, even though there's no money going through it. Like, let's say there's no money involved at all in that place. And it's just us on the bartering system. That's the place you go to barter, and now you can't even go to it because it's contaminated.
Yeah, that sucks. So then they're just going up. They're pretty much going without it right now because
they're trying to. I mean, my grandparents are trying to keep that place sustainable, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Economically, of course, they're going to crap, but sustainability, everyone needs to be alive, and they're not going to be horrible people and say, no, we're going to close our business down.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
or are you going to get canned food? There's no more rations to give out. They're out in the Navajo Reservation, it's a food desert, right?
Right.
So there's no more rations to give out. So there's no truck drivers driving in because everybody is shut down, locked down.
Damn. Yeah, you guys.
Summertime, send them some fish.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's why you need to get on that that hunting program and have your own freezer full. And that's what I'm trying to tell people, man. Like right now, people are starting to get it. Like, oh, I understand. Why you go out and, you know, get your own meat and everything. So that's cool. You're on the right track. Yeah, you're on the right track. I knew you had it in you. I knew you had it in you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. I knew you knew I had it in you.
Right on. So what's the plan? What's the plan for you? Obviously you just had a fight offered to you, but when are we going to see you back in the cage? Obviously, you know, it's kind of a crazy time right now, but obviously Dana White said that he's got a place that's secured and he's going to start throwing fights on every week.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about that, though. Who has training partners? You know what I mean? Like, right now, like, who's actually training right now, you know? So that's what's the hard part about it. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you know this, but I said I have a training partner.
My bad, Doc. I know. My bad. I know.
Where's the other one up?
I should kick my own ass right now for that, huh? Oh, shit. In fact, yep, I know.
Talking about training partners.
I know.
Things putting themselves.
I know, dude. It is. It's, hey, dude,
no,
I know. It's hard work. Are you using an axe and just cutting yourself? No log splitter, nothing?
I did for a second, and then I had to resort to the log splitter. I didn't even know that thing existed until it showed up, and I was like,
"Oh, now you tell
here
me
we
how."
Go.
You know what's crazy is, I mean, I have a log splitter too, but I don't mind splitting wood with an axe. It's kind of fun, and then I'm like, oh, I better split it with the thing because I mean it's faster, obviously. But I don't mind splitting the wood with the axe. So tell us when are we gonna see you back in the cage? What are you hoping? I should say.
Honestly, like, I'd be good to go, but the weight cutting portion is silly because I don't have a sauna here, I don't know if there's going to be a sauna present anywhere I'm going to fight at. I think people should start fighting at their own weight classes, like their true weight classes. You know, I'll be honest, I'm I'm 160 right now.
Yeah. So
if I already cut to 145, that'd be easy.
That's yeah. Fine. So do you want to? Are they asking you to come back at 135?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough.
But I'm
cut,
working
man.
Out. I'm fit, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm
I mean,
strong.
You're. I mean, guys, early. Like, believe me, this girl is a beast. Like, she, like, when you wrestle with her, she's fucking strong. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, when we wrestled with you in you know, picks and everything, I was like, dude, you got to get her. She's fucking a beast, right? Like, we saw your striking. You know,
I know you're the one.
I was
Luke,
like, dude,
you're my.
Savior. I was like, dog, this girl's legit. Like, she's going to do shit. And, like the other one I wanted to was Banks. What's her name?
Sajara. And Sajara. I think her and I,
Yeah, dude. Like she needs to move up, too. Because you guys are so fucking good. And just need to fight more, you know, at a heavier weight class, period. I mean, I get it. Like, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that was the
For
one.
Athletes. That, we need to fuel our bodies.
And that's what I was saying. Like, I wanted her on the team too, but we didn't want to deal with that weight cutting issue. You know what I mean? And I just, you know, it was tough. But yeah. Anyways, that's another story. But that I want to ask you a question. Uh oh. Here's question time. I ask all my guests this. Okay, I bring in different fighters, name drops. Okay. So now, if you have to fight one, hunt with one, and party with one, okay? You're going to hunt with one.
Okay.
Hunt with one, party with one, and fight one, okay? You got Ronda Rousey, you got Miesha Tate, and you got Justin Gaethje, okay? So now you got a party, hunt, and fight one. What? Give me the lowdown.
Oh man. Party and hot with Gaethje.
You're
but
what?
I have to make one.
Wait, hold on. What was that?
I said party and hunt with Gaethje.
Okay.
But since I have to make one choice. Oh, boo. Because I fight Ronda. You'd be a good fight.
Yeah, definitely. I think you'd definitely fight Ronda. Yeah, for sure.
I'd fight Ronda, and it would be fun. It'd be a really fun fight.
Yep.
Now I have to split up Miesha with. I'd have to hunt with Gaethje.
Yeah.
And party with Miesha.
Yeah, and then party with Miesha. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, you notice I put all girls out there for you, right? Yeah, I put Ronda, Miesha, and Justin, all girls. So.
All girls.
So, I mean, it was
all girls.
hopefully.
Speaking of all, especially when we go hunting, we can talk about how the pee in the funnel.
Right, yeah, right. It was, it is. Dude, I'll tell you what, I would love to have you on the show. You ever back. I don't know. We do a lot of adventures, so I definitely will keep you in the loop if you really want to do it. Get your 100 safeties and let's do this, you know. Okay, so here's the other question coming from me. How was it having me as a coach on your team, Coach Lou, Coach Pimpin, as one of your coach on the Ultimate Fighter that you were world champ on? Tell the people how dope I am.
Not to shoot your own horn or anything.
Nah.
But this smile is dancing.
Yeah.
Right now. I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's
I
good.
Loved it. I loved every second of it. There's not a, there's never been a time since then where I've been like, my coach has been like my rock, you know?
Yeah.
My rock, one person that I can count on when I'm having a crappy day.
Yeah.
When I'm just like not in the mood, or I think I'm in the mood.
Yep.
But apparently I can go deeper. You know, I can
yeah.
I can dig deeper. And Luke, you were just there for me. You were there for me since day one. I wanted you in my corner after that, every single fight.
I appreciate that.
Not Gaethje, but you were holding tabs for me, and you would be like, you would tell me. You would tell me when it was good. You would tell me when it sucked. When you told me when it sucked, I'd be like, don't sugarcoat it.
Yep. Don't show it.
But no, you're a good guy, and you're a good coach. You're a great coach, and you know how to push people. You know what to expect from them, so it's not impossible for them to reach it. So when they reach it, they're like, oh, this guy knows. He knows what I'm made for. You're that.
Well, you done proved a lot. I mean, like, here's what I was so mad about, the whole Ultimate Fighter deal, was, like, the season got done. Mm-hmm. We got done filming, and then everybody left. You went to the finals. You were supposed to fight what's-her-name. That got scratched. Then you both fought. You fought Roxy. Mm-hmm. Right, and like we were nowhere around. Like mm-hmm. I wanted to be like I didn't want a corner. I just wanted to be there. You know what I mean? And like I didn't understand why
you guys
they
were
didn't.
Off on Gaethje's fight.
Yeah, we were in Detroit, and you guys were in Las Vegas. And I was like, why did they put that fight, you know, all underneath one roof? You know, and that's what it just sucked. But I was happy for you. I don't care. I was extremely happy for you. I was even happy for Roxy that got to step in and fight for that, you know. And I was happy for Roxy this last fight. Right? Everything happened.
I don't think they're expecting us to have this big. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think they're expecting us to have such a good turnout with our relationships and everything. And yeah. You guys are all rock solid.
Well, yeah, we were definitely a way cooler bunch than Eddie Alvarez's team. You were on the A team, huh?
Remember Eddie was all spreading love.
Oh yeah, dude.
We're not gonna go there.
I know, we won't go there on this one. Maybe next one. Maybe the next one we will. Last question. Where do you see yourself in 10 years, Nico?
10 years. Coaching, living life to the fullest, hunting my own meat, fishing my own dinner, and just, you know, having freaking fun in life. No one's going to stop me doing that.
That's dope. I love it. I love that answer. And I think a lot of listeners will respect that. Tell the people where they can follow you at. Give them a shout. Where can they follow you on the IG?
Yep, follow me on IG and R Montano. That's NRMONTANO. I feed everything off to that. If I get enough people following me, maybe I'll start a YouTube and then we can get things going.
Hell yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it. All right, guys, that's it. Man, Nico, it's been a blast. I love it. I love catching up with you. I got to send you out some more gear. I know you'd be supporting my gear. I love it. I got to get you some more. Guys, real quick, give her a follow. She's the real G of all G's. Also, holler at my boys over at Tato Knives. Put in GU15 and get 15% off of that. My boys at Cafaro International, check them out. And the one and only Leopold Optics. Oh, shit. You know Reza got some goods over there. And other than that, my boys in the camo, the Cryptic, got to follow those guys. Josh, Butch, Justin, they're the real deal. All right, boys, we out. That's a podcast. Thank you, and I'll see you on the next one.